Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We've already hit our first break because the DFB Pokal is on this week, but of course we'll be discussing all the action from an entertaining match day two. Joining me as always to co-host this podcast about the Zweite Bundesliga is the one and only Eva Lotte-Bohler. Eva, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. I mean, we've seen some good games, some rather really weird games. We'll probably start off with one of the weirdest very soon. But otherwise, I'm very looking forward to the Pokal as well. I'm making the journey to Bayreuth with a friend. It's going to be my first away game since March 9th, 2020. So it's going to be a bit weird. It's also compared to then it was Stuttgart in the second division, and now it's going to be Bayreuth, so basically the same stadium, same size. Can't see any difference there. But really looking forward to that. And yeah, Pokal is always a very nice weekend as well. It's always a bit better, obviously, for the Zweit or like lower division clubs, because they've already started into the season, so they have some advantage. But we're here to talk about Zweite Bundesliga, so let's start.
Yes, let's. And we should start with the game that certainly brought a lot to the table. It was very much a great advertisement for the league. It was Fortuna Düsseldorf against Werder Bremen. And this game was as entertaining, as dramatic, as you'd love to see in a game of football. And it all started just before halftime, when American Josh Sargent opened the scoring, and then he would also manage to get a goal midway through the second half. Ruven Hennings made Düsseldorf level early on in the second half to cancel out the initial goal from Sargent. He's got 3 goals in 2 games, and it looked like Düsseldorf were going to get a share of the points when Khalid Nairai scored an excellent goal in a crowd of players to give Düsseldorf the 2-2. But he saw himself go from hero to villain in a matter of moments. In a pretty 50-50 challenge, he brings down the Bremen player, and then Maximilian Eggestein converts from the spot in the 6th minute of added time to give Werder Bremen and Marcus Anfang all 3 points. It was a fantastic game of football. There was plenty of impetus from both sides to go forward, and we saw some unbelievably good performances. And Bremen, in the end, even fortuitous with the late penalty to take the 3 points, but don't tell the Bremen fans any different. They'll be very happy to finally get on the board with a win.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, and compared to the last Saturday night game they had against Hannover, the performance here was better, in my opinion. They showed more strength and more stability throughout the game, although you could really see that with the Hennings goal and with the Nare goal, there were two moments where you had the feeling that they weren't concentrated enough anymore. So the Hennings goal very shortly after kickoff into the second half, and then obviously, as you've mentioned before, in stoppage time, obviously. I mean, I really did like Josh Sargent in that game. I know that some Bremen fans aren't overly happy with him or his performance in the past month and past year, but I mean, this game was, we do hope that it means for him that he can show a bit more of what he can do if he just finds back into, that he's happy to play football. It was a really, really crazy game in the end. I mean, first of all, Werder's order in their own box is completely destroyed. You look at that situation and you just think, okay, Did you have like any plan to defend this? And yeah, actually, coming to the penalty, I did think it was a very tough decision. It was one of those penalties where you can say, okay, when you give it, it's fine, but when you don't do it, like as you've mentioned, it's a 50-50 kind of decision. But it meant that it's actually Werder Bremen's first win since April in the Pokal against Regensburg. Before that, they won one league game as well. So hopefully for better times for them. Although still people like Ömer Toprak, he showed once again in this game how important he is for Werder, and if I'm correct, it's still not sure if he's going to stay or not. And yeah, still very unsure times in Bremen.
Yeah, I think there are certainly still a few teams who are figuring out what their squads will look like, and Bremen certainly are one of those. But make no mistake, they dug in. Yeah, you know, when you give away a lead twice as they did in this game, it has to take some resolve to come back and find a way. And I do empathize with the Dusseldorf fans who might be aggrieved that it might not have been a penalty. Sometimes you see those given, sometimes you don't. But I guess in that situation, you really can't have the defense, or Naray in that situation, go to ground, because it invites the official to make a decision. In that situation, keep your feet and not force the referee or the VAR to make a decision. And unfortunately, for Dusseldorf, that was the case. But they still put it up a pretty good performance. I think their first two games so far have been quite promising. And Naray, excluding the penalty, had a really good game. He assisted the goal for Hennings and got one himself. So for Dusseldorf fans, there's plenty of upside with the opening two performances as they head into the Pokal. Bremen, you know, 4 points from six. They were far better in this game. As Eva said, there is a bit of uncertainty what their squad will look like. Josh Sargent might be another one that, if Bremen decide they want to cash in, I would say he's probably someone who is expendable. Maybe another Bundesliga club takes a flyer on him and tries to pay the fee. Let's move to Bremen's Nord rivals, and that's Hamburg. They hosted Dynamo Dresden on Sunday, Tim Walter's first game in charge at home, and it started fantastically when Ludovit Reitz opened the scoring, the Dutchman getting his first goal in Hamburg colours. And it certainly looked like Hamburg were controlling the game, but there was one person who had other ideas about ensuring Hamburg would extend the league, and that was Kevin Brawl, who made a number of top-class saves, including one against David Kinsombi just before half-time. Dresden were much better in the second half, and on 68 minutes, Dresden captain Tim Knipping got Dresden on level terms. It was a set-piece goal, and we know Hamburg have defended a lot better at set-pieces, but it was just ironic that the first goal they would concede at home would be a set-piece goal. And it was pretty even from there, both keepers able to negate either side from taking the lead and all 3 points. It is fair to say, though, Eva, that Kevin Brawl, who again was voted into Kickers Team of the Week, he produced another stellar performance, a goal for Dresden.
Yeah, would fully agree with you here. I thought he was brilliant in goal. I mean, we know him from Dresden's last season in the Zweite Liga, but he's been brilliant. If I'm correct, he's just from, if you know, they're always from Kicker or Transfer Market, they give away like school notes, as we say in Germany, and he has the best until now, so that's really, really good. And I mean, if you just look at the first half, the amount of chances HSV had and just had in 20 seconds. I think there was this one situation where they had three chances to convert one of their shots into a goal, and they didn't. And yeah, sometimes I think some HSV fans had the feeling as well, but you kind of have the feeling this can go wrong. You had the feeling Dresden wasn't just standing by watching HSV taking chance by chance in the second half as well, and they didn't. I mean, you had a very, very different two halves, and if you would have told me that after the first half it's going to end 1-1, I would have said, okay, that's very undeserved, because Dresden did near to nothing, although they had actually the first chance of the game, but the Ferner was playing the ball with his hand. But yeah, for HSV, I don't really know. You had the feeling they don't have the energy yet to play the Walter ball for 90 minutes straight. There's nothing you need to worry about too much, in my opinion, because it's just the second match day. And players like Winsheimer and Reis, also Kinzombi, I really like them in this first half. I think I did a tweet on that on Winsheimer. I think he might be one of the players to really watch this season. With Tirode gone, he has some really good moments in his play, and I love to see what he can do. So besides that, really, really huge point for Dresden, obviously. The second half, once again, Tim Knipping, we spoke about him last week. He's been a vital character for their promotion, and yeah, now they he scores the goals as well. Yeah, but huge point for Dresden, really happy for them in that way.
Yeah, and like for me, the game started to turn, as you mentioned, the fatigue factor did start to set in, and you know, with Walter Ball, you're gonna see Hamburg will play a higher line, and I really felt that the substitutes for Dresden, Vlachodimos and Mürschel especially, really made an impact in that second half, where they were really able to find holes in that Hamburg defense. And when you press so high, of course, you are susceptible to quick counterattacks. And when Dresden were able to get out on the counter, they looked very dangerous. And it was a really good second half and a good fight back from Dinamo, because in truth, they didn't really deserve to be in that situation in the first place, because Hamburg should have been two or three goals up heading into half time. Let's go to our final Group 1 game, and it was in Kiel, Holstein Kiel against Schalke 04. And geez, this is a really tough game to really review, because the scoreline doesn't really reflect the overall play of the game. So Schalke 3, Kiel 0. A brace for Simon Terodde. Very identical the ways the goals came in, with Uwe Jan, the left back, from on-set piece duty, finding Simon Terodde, who now has three goals. All three goals have come in the opening half an hour of the two games for Schalke. And then Marius Bulter feasting on a horrendous defensive error from Kiel to give Schalke all 3 points, of course, their first points back. It's not the ideal start for Kiel, though, either. They've conceded six goals in their opening two matches. They are yet to score. What, in your eyes, is the biggest issue in their opening two games so far?
That they make mistakes in the back that they can't really even out in the offense. So that's probably the biggest mistake. I mean, as you've mentioned, they lost their first two games 3-0. But I would say I have to give them a bit of credit in this game, because at least they tried to come back and to fight back. They really, especially in the second half, really never gave up fighting. That was different in the St. Pauli game. You had the feeling they were completely gone from that game. But yeah, they made really, really bad mistakes. I mean, as you've mentioned, the first two goals, they were very, very similar. Just that Uwe Jan was once on the right, and then his free kick came from the left for the second goal. So that was not really good, especially Uwe Jan was one of the players Kiel couldn't really control. And I mean, with Terodde, you won't really find a lot of defenses in the Zweite Bundesliga who can control Simon Terodde. So I wouldn't really pinpoint that on Kiel exactly. But really, just the way from they made the mistakes in general this in this game was a bit hard to watch. As mentioned before, I did think they improved in the second half. Didn't mean they were good, because obviously they didn't score a goal. But at least you had the feeling they were trying to, but just couldn't. Obviously, their first two opponents weren't easy ones, especially if you have this difficult summer behind you with key players leaving. We spoke about that plenty of times now. But this second half does give a bit of just hope that it can be better, and I'm pretty sure Olivena will find a way to kind of build them up. They now have the Pokal, obviously, and I mean, maybe after that they can just try again. But on the other hand, for Schalke, I know that some Schalke fans weren't, in a weird way, not really happy that they won this 3-0, because as you've mentioned, the beginning of this section, it doesn't really reflect the game, because I do think that Schalke's football wasn't good either. They had two or three situations where they showed what they could do, but half of the time they were just really relaxing on that lead. And if two of your three goals come from set pieces, that's okay. That's fine. But this is not what you can mainly build on, because especially with the set pieces, your upcoming opponents will look at that and will find a way to just fight against that and defend it a bit better. So yeah, still not overly convinced by what Schalke is doing in this Zweite Liga season so far, but it's only the second match day, so they have 32 other match days to convince me there.
Yeah, they have time. I did feel that watching the game, it was a slog. It was a really weird kind of dynamic where, you know, Kiel would kind of feel like they would have the ascendancy and then Schalke would score. Like that's how the game felt. I mean, you don't probably expect less than 2 minutes into the game, you're already a goal down and you kind of like you don't have really time to comprehend that situation, because it was such a poorly defended set piece. You know that he's going to be the guy that Schalke are going to try and pinpoint. And on two occasions, he managed to get goal side, onside, and a virtual tap-in past any goalkeeper who was not going to save it. So they were effective on the set piece. That's really important. Like, it's a good thing to have where, you know, if you're not scoring goals from open play, I mean, half their goals have been from open play this year, but so far. So it's not all bad, but there are still things that are really concerning. When they play out from the back, teams who press them intensely, they find ways to turn the ball over. There's still a lot of work to do for Schalke. And maybe the addition of Rodrigo Salazar from Eintracht Frankfurt, who will be on loan this season, with the option to buy. If they buy, he will sign a contract going to the end of the 2025-26 season. So was very good at St. Pauli last season. I think will be a very handy addition into that Schalke midfield. Let's take our first break, and on the other side, we are going to head to the Benteler Arena when Paderborn hosted Nürnberg. Two teams who were seeking more on match day two were Paderborn and Nürnberg. Both sides came off nil-all draws in the previous match day and were hoping to make an impression. It was Paderborn who struck first, 18 minutes in, when Yannis Hoyer opened the scoring, the right back, wonderfully tucking home the set piece just within the opening half an hour. But cometh the second half, it was the Mats Møller Daily Show. He had the ball on a string. He opened the scoring for Nürnberg to get it to 1-1 on 54 minutes. And then just a few moments later, he was the catalyst who set up Emmanuel Schaeffler to make it 2-1. It seemed as if the club were on their way to all 3 points. However, a slight little defensive lapse and some brilliant trickery by Julian Jusvan, finding Sven Mikkel one-on-one with a goalkeeper. And Mikkel converted to give Paderborn a share of the points. Eva, this game had a bit of everything. Paderborn, again, very much trying to remain defensively focused. We did get to see a little bit of progression from their team going forward. And it did take a bit of magic to get them a share of the spoils.
Yeah, although I want to start off with something that was talked about for the 1-0, because in my opinion, it should have been called off by the VAR. Because if you look at that scene, Van der Werf, so the Paderborn player, pushes away one of the Nuremberg players, and that's why he can head the ball over to Hoya, I think. And then it's the goal. It wasn't even reviewed. At least you couldn't see that on the pitch. You couldn't really be witness to that by the VAR. And I was wondering about that a bit. What's your opinion on that situation? Would you have given the goal or not?
Oh, I don't know. There was a lot going on in that situation. And there were Nuremberg players flying left, right and centre. I'm not entirely sure the contact was sufficient. It certainly seemed to me anyway as if the Nuremberg players went down rather easily. I mean, again, up to interpretation, in the end, VAR gave the goal. But for me, it didn't seem like there was enough in the way of contact to see him fly to the ground as maybe, you know, to me it felt like he went down way too easily, and it seemed like he was trying to win a foul, and the referee and the VAR saw through that. But that's just my personal opinion. I think overall, though, it has to be said, I think the VAR so far, Eva, has been... I know this is always a scope for debate and controversy, but I don't think they've been too bad. There's been a few iffy ones, and this one, again, is one of those 50-50 ones. But I think overall, you may disagree with me, I think they've been okay so far.
Yeah, I would agree with you, I would say, because I spoke with a referee about that, actually, and he said, in his opinion, it's a clear mistake to give it. So, I don't know, because I always think about it, if it would have been the situation for a penalty, I do think it would have been won, because then it doesn't, like, just the way the Van der Werf takes it into, I don't know, consideration to foul him in that way. But, it's a fair share of points. It's always... very stupid to say what if, and because it doesn't really make sense. But actually talking about the game a bit more, I did think around especially in the second half and around those first 50 minutes where they scored two of their goals, very dominant display and very good display by Nuremberg. You could see what they can do if they want to play the football Klaus wants them to play. But, for example, one of the players, I don't really want to say disappointed, because he's still a very young player and it's a bit mean to put all the pressure on him. But I do expect a bit more of Shuranov throughout the season. He wasn't really visible in this game as well. Obviously, it's difficult because he shed a light on himself towards the end of last season. So we were kind of expecting that when all goes down to or starts off new, maybe it's opportunity for him to start off new as well. So maybe we will see something of him throughout the season. I would love to, don't really expect him to start again on match day 3 though.
Yeah, I put it in my notes that the Schaefler-Lokemper combo should probably start their game on match day 3, because he's given Bukowski and Shuranov the crack at it. And, like, they just haven't been able to really make use of any of their chances. They've really struggled to kind of integrate as a tandem. And yeah, you could see when Lokemper and Schaefler came on, they were infinitely a better team, and they were far more dangerous in their offensive third. And as we saw, in that 4-minute stretch. They scored twice, and again they looked very dangerous to get a third. So it's a tough one. You obviously part for the course with being sort of like a moderator or someone who observes sport is that, and that comes in all forms of, you know, not just football, but and not just any gender, or it's part for the course that if you see something that is not to the standard, or you have like a perception of someone, there is going to be criticism, even if it's fair or not. So yeah, he's probably been just a little bit down on form. Maybe playing a joker role coming off the bench might be able to rejuvenate him. Some players are just better off the bench. But yeah, I can see what Robert Klaus is trying to do by having Shurinov and Borkowski. That is the kind of the future of Nürnberg's attack, but at the moment it's just not working out. Alas, still got the points, a point, so you can't complain with that. Let's move over to Hanover, the HDI Arena. It was Jan Zimmermann's first home game in charge of Hanover. They took on Hansa Rostock. After half an hour, it certainly looked like Hanover had the best of it. They were creating chances, and we expected from there they were going to win, but someone forgot to tell Hansa Rostock that the script was written that particular way, because they ripped the script in half and took it all themselves. 3-0 the final score, and it started with Hanno Behrens opening the scoring just before halftime. A lovely taken goal. And just if things couldn't get any better for the travelling Rostock fans, John Verhoek, seconds into the second half, doubled Hansa's advantage. And then in stoppage time, a horrible defensive mistake led to substitute Nick Omladic to score a classy goal past really, you know, unfortunate Ron Robert Zieler. Statistically, it will say that Hanover were the better side, but I really loved, Eva, how Hansa Rostock went about this game.
Yeah, would once again fully agree with you there. I mean, and there's one scene that kind of sums up Hanover in this game, and it's one scene from the very beginning of this match where Sebastian Ernst takes shot and the ball just bursts. And you later on see one of the Rostock fans holding on to the destroyed ball, and you also see obviously Rostock keeper Kolke with the ball in his hand. It's like, what is this supposed to be? And it kind of does sum up Hanover, especially in the second half. They were very, very poor in the second half. And obviously, as the French say, chapeau to Rostock. That was a really dominant display throughout the second half, in my opinion. And also, they didn't back down from the defeat against Karlsruhe, which I really like. Those are the games where you have to pick up points if you want to stay in the league. They did it. Behrens and Bahn, really good up front, as well as John Verhoek, who obviously knows the league. But we have to talk about Hanover, because there was no way in it. Like, compared to the game against Bremen, this was Hanover last season once again. And you do feel sorry a bit about the fans, because obviously, was Jan Zimmermann's first game at home. People were looking forward. He said last week he wants fans to love to go back to the stadium to see this team play, to identify with it as well. And then this is your first home game, and you just sit there and say, okay, fine, we should identify with that. Try again. I mean, I wouldn't say all of Jan Zimmermann's thoughts and the way he wants to let his team play is gone now, because obviously that would be very wrong. It's always a bit more difficult to actually play against sides that are getting promoted, because they have a very different motivation than all the other teams, obviously. But I think they see that only if you have one good game and you don't win that, it doesn't mean that you will win the next game. And they have to stay concentrated on that. But I still think that Jan Zimmermann is one of the best things that has happened to Hannover in the past years.
Yeah, I know I kind of teased it on Saturday how I felt, because this was the game that I was really focused on watching, and, you know, I was really intrigued to see what Hannover were going to look like at home against a Rostock team that has nothing to lose throughout this season. Like, they played with some really good intensity in the second half especially. My issue with Hannover is that they clearly have a bunch of players, certain group of players, who are just coasting. They are either not at the level to play at the Zweite Bundesliga, or they have just been like, I'm taking the money. And like, it's a harsh thing to say that some like players don't try their all, because that's a bit harsh. But it was really just incredibly poor on their behalf. And I know there are certain people who, you know, I won't name, who talk about how, you know, Jan Zimmermann wasn't really fit to coach this squad. They've got a massive payroll. It's like, but that's so naive to say. He did such a great job at Havelsee. I know Hannover is a different beast altogether, but you come in, you don't really allow to bring too many players in to bolster the squad. It's mostly the same squad that struggled last season, and you have to make do with what you have. And for the most part, you know, you look at that Bremen game, they were good. So we know that their best is really good. Their worst is just a long way away from where they want to be. So, you know, I think it's ignorant to even contemplate being like, oh, Zimmermann's not the right guy. You know, it's just so, it's just really dumb. He's only coached two games in the Zweite Bundesliga. Give the man time. Time always gives you an indicator of where a team is at. Okay, we now know that their worst is really bad, but their best, as we saw against Bremen, is quite good. So if I was a Hannover fan, I'd be, yes, disappointed about the result, especially if you've waited so long to go see them in person, but it's not all doom and gloom. So just be patient. Let's head off to our last Group 2 game. That was Ingolstadt against Heidenheim. And this game really kicked off after half time when Philipp Billbier opened the scoring just before the hour mark. And then some incredible things happen. Patrick Schmidt gets on the score sheet. We know that typically at the second half of seasons, he ends up getting loaned out. So him and Stefan Schimmer are very much fighting for that backup striker role behind Tim Kleindienst. He scores, gives Heidenheim, puts them on level terms. Then Ingolstadt comes agonizingly close to taking the lead again with a shot coming off the crossbar. And from there, Heidenheim are out, able to counter a defensive mistake from Ingolstadt. And Tim Kleindienst scores from just inside halfway to give Heidenheim the lead. And eventually they would hold on to that lead and take a 2-1 victory. We know, Eva, that everyone was talking about that goal. It was an incredible goal, a bolter from the blue. We know Fabian Buntic was going bunter at his defense. It's a hard way to lose for Ingolstadt. I do feel really sorry for them, because they actually played quite a good game, and it just took one defensive mistake to undo all their hard work.
Yeah, we'll agree once again. Very humbling kids today. I would agree with you. Did think that Ingolstadt showed off a good performance, but it's something that we keep talking about, especially with promoted sides. You have way less time to kind of even out mistakes like that, and you will always, like, just don't do those mistakes. We've seen it at Hannover, we've seen it at the Rostock. It's always, only because it's the second league, it doesn't mean that you that you won't have opponents who can take advantage of those mistakes. And I mean, with Heidenheim, we know that sometimes, especially like two seasons ago, I think they won a couple of games where they weren't the better team, where they didn't have tons of chances. But if they want, they can be very efficient. And they showed it off once again in this game. And I mean, Tim Klein needs a bit on footsteps of obviously Patrick Schick, who just scored this amazing goal in the Euros. But one of the English sub players I really, really like was Dennis Lindsmeyer, who Sandhausen fans are a bit sad that he left the club because he's been some sort of a club legend there. He's been there for a very long time, and some feel that it was a bit unnecessary to let him go, especially with all the changes that have happened there at the club. He's had some good impact on the game for Ingolstadt. He had a couple of chances as well, I think. But yeah, for Ingolstadt, they have to improve a bit in using their chances. I know that Ekater Jensa had a couple of chances similar to Bibia. So they will have to find a way to use their chances, especially at home, I think. But with Heidenheim, as mentioned before, you have a team which, if they want to, they won't play, and they won't even reach like 80% of the potential they have. But they can win a game like this, and then it's very hard to play against that team, especially as a promoted side.
Yeah, and that's the thing with like Heidenheim. We kind of know what to expect from them, and even when they're not playing well, they are still quite dangerous. And obviously, you know, that's such a tough way to lose a game where you're pretty much the better side for the majority and then you give away two goals. One where the keeper makes the save and it goes off the post and goes in, and then the other one just enters his own offensive half and just takes a ping because the keeper's well off his line. I mean, just outliers in every sense of the word, but, you know, it is. It's crazy. I mean, I do sympathise for Ingolstadt, but they were better than they were a week ago. Let's take our final break, and on the other side, we'll review the final three games. And for those who have been waiting for their teams to be read out, especially those at the top, you're up next. It's Karlsruhe and Darmstadt first. We thought we would wait until the last group games before we talked about a couple of the teams who are top of the pile in the Zweite Bundesliga in its early stages. The team that is currently on top, thanks to goal difference, is Karlsruhe, a team that has scored 6 goals and only conceded just the once. They took a 3-0 win over a pretty helpless Darmstadt at the Wildparkstadion, and it started pretty early when Philipp Hoffmann opened the scoring just 9 minutes in. Darmstadt, of course, are missing a ton of players because they are currently in the COVID protocols and they are isolating at the moment. So whatever players they had left fought valiantly to try and get a result. And they thought they'd equalised through striker Philipp Tietz. However, he was chalked away for being offside and correctly given. And then Karlsruhe really put Darmstadt to the sword. Kyung-Rook Choi and then Hoffmann again for his second, putting Darmstadt to the sword. It was game, set, and match from there. And Eva, Karlsruhe have looked very, very promising early on this season. Their attack is working quite well, and that one goal they've only given up shows that the defense once again is as strong as ever.
Yeah, and I mean, especially kudos to Jerome Gondorf. I thought he played a really good match. Obviously, besides Hoffmann and Choi as well, but he was one of the main reasons why they scored that first goal. Darmstadt did try to fight back in a way, but obviously, if you just don't really have your team of choice in a way, it's always very, very difficult. I mean, they trained really differently in pre-season. Just a very tough task for Thorsten Lieberknecht. Hopefully everyone will get well soon and won't have any signs of long COVID or something like that. I also want to point out, I think Choi is always one of the players that kind of stands back a bit besides Hoffmann, but I think we've seen it a couple of times last season already, but in this situation, in this game as well, that second goal, just from the techniques he puts on the pitch there, it's a brilliant goal in my opinion. And I would really love to see more of him this season. Obviously, you can't really, Darmstadt is just in a very bad position at the moment. Still a very good game by Karlsruhe, but they wouldn't overshoot this game in any way. For Kaiste, obviously, good picking up points. I mean, we've said it, they might be some dark horse for promotion if they can keep Philip Hoffmann. And as we look at the league now, it seems like he will play another season at the Wittbrettstadion.
Yeah, I think we've known for a while that if he was going to go anywhere, it would be to a Bundesliga club. We know that Hamburg in particular had been sniffing around for him for quite some time. He said no, unless an offer from a Bundesliga team was to come, he was not going to go anywhere. And yeah, you can see how important he is structurally to the way they play, and just the fact that he's just a big lumbering target who can convert from close range. He's a very dangerous set piece threat, and he does everything you want from a striker playing in the Zweite Bundesliga. That's what he does. He does it, and what he does in terms of his craft, he does fantastically well. And yeah, he makes defenses take notice. I do again with Darmstadt. We haven't really seen the real Darmstadt yet. Like, they're missing a good chunk of their players, and you know, it would always be an unfair assessment to judge them so far, but they are one of a number of teams who have yet to score. Not particularly an easy opponent first up away from home. They probably would have felt they were a chance against Regensburg, but they were unable to make anything of it. Speaking of Regensburg, they are second on the table, 2 wins from 2. Beating Darmstadt and then putting 3 past a pretty poor Sandhausen. It was a pretty resounding performance from the Jan. Carlo Buchhaufer opened the scoring on 34 minutes, then Scott Kennedy and Joel Schwarz also getting on the score sheet. Schwarz is a new signing, as well as Buchhaufer, getting their first goals in front of the Jan faithful. Eva, I know a few people talking about this, that, you know, they were surprised that Regensburg had that kind of offensive output. I know a few times last season they were able to do that, but 27 shots on goal and 13 of those being on target, that is an impressive display no matter what league you're playing in.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it shows that they, especially with the new signings, they knew what they had to improve going into that season. And so far, at least in the first two games, they've done well. Didn't concede a goal yet, if I'm correct. That was pretty impressive. I mean, Sandhausen didn't offer much as well. They were really lucky to have Patrick Grievers in goal, because he was brilliant. He is one of the best signings this season. Coming to signings, I think Umar Diakite has had the worst start in a new team that you can have last week. That penalty, he was, kind of the reason that happened, now being sent off. And I mean, the thing is, without wanting to be in any way rude or mean, but I was a bit surprised that he's still in the Zweite Bundesliga, because in my opinion, he wasn't the best Braunschweig player last season as well. I don't really know. I do hope for him he can turn it around a bit. Don't want to just, point all this on one player, because that would be just not right. But yeah, for Sandhausen, I mean, obviously with Tesco being injured, they didn't plan that, obviously. You will see what they can do, but on the other side, it's not really surprising that they lost away from home. I mean, it's their 13th away defeat in a row. Away from home is just not Sandhausen's strong suit. I still don't know why I thought they could pick up points there. I'm some kind of an expert here. Obviously it seems like away games won't be the place to pick up points for Sandhausen this season once again. And to finish that off, good win by Regensburg. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's because we're half glass full optimists. That's why we believed in Sandhausen. But all things aside, you mentioned Patrick Drouves in goal, and he was, of course, superb. And, you know, I think the thing with Sandhausen and a number of teams will probably get a pass early on in the season. Like, they have a ton of new players that they are they're putting into the system. Obviously it's going to take time. I hate when people say, oh, you know, they're professionals, they should just immediately gel. It's like, it's not how it works. Like, these guys need to kind of develop, they need to develop chemistry together, understanding of how each other plays. And at the moment, Sandhausen aren't there yet. They're just not. And, you know, they they're a long way away from where they want to be. They need some help. Like, they need probably not another transfer, but they just need more games together, more games in that sort of, you know, high intensity situation. They too are another team that are yet to score. I think we'll see with them. An interesting stat that I thought I'd bring in, and if memory serves me correct me if I'm wrong, Sandhausen only took 3 total points away from home last season, which I know we talk about the next team that we'll mention about how they have a horrendous away record usually, but yeah, Sandhausen also a candidate for that. So let's talk about Erzgebirge Aue then. They hosted St. Pauli in what is our last game of the Matchday 2 review. They typically have a really good record against St. Pauli, and they were able to keep it to a nil or draw. Guido Burgstaller had scored. It was a wonderful goal, but unfortunately he was offside, a story that Schalke fans in particular know all too well. The game was really tight from there. Aue were able to make things quite difficult for them. And, even it was an interestingly tight affair. And Aue, again, will be happy with another clean sheet and another point against a pretty good St. Pauli side.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Aue's first goal was to definitely improve the way they've played against Nuremberg. And in my opinion, they did. It was a way better performance, although especially towards the end of the second half, they mainly focused on defending. But I mean, that's okay. I know that St. Pauli manager Timo Schulz was happy they kept a clean sheet as well, because he said that was one of the main goals for this season. Just don't get that many goals. Just conceive them. I mean, we talk about this every season. It's tough to win at Aue. St. Pauli had some good moments, obviously, with Kyrie as well, with Burgstaller, as you've mentioned. But, I mean, in the end, I think it was okay. It ended nil all. What St. Pauli will be more sad about is the injury of Lukas Daschner, who he injured his knee very badly in a training session on Monday. He will be at least out for a couple of weeks. All the best at this point. It's always, he had a good impact on the game as well. It's always sad to see a player injuring in a training session. It's always, as mentioned, all the best. Hopefully he will get back on the pitch soon and safely. Don't know what to say else about this game. You said nothing else really happened besides that offside goal. Some good moments from both teams, but in the end, all good with the result as it is.
Yeah, I'll add one more thing and then we'll kind of move away. But yeah, Nikolai Vasil, the goalkeeper from St. Pauli, has had 2 really good performances in goal, 2 clean sheets against pretty decent opposition. And it was the one thing that we were really wondering about St. Pauli was the stability in goal. We know it's one thing that they really struggled with last season. They played, 4 goalkeepers in total last season, and it wasn't because of injuries, it was because of form. So he's looked very solid in goal, and I think they're going to start Dennis Marsh in the cup game on the weekend. But yeah, Vasil very much showcasing to be a very astute signing for St. Pauli. Now, before we go, of course, we have our own Kick Tip League, which is two match days in. And if you haven't joined, go to our Twitter page at 2BundesligaPod and you can join. We're always happy to have more the merrier. Over 50 people have entered the league, which is fantastic. And Eva, excluding our majestic results on the weekend, who is currently leading? Who is currently leading our table? And who was the top scorer from the previous match day?
So yeah, we still have Henry Suarez with 26 points, leading the table, you could say. And a very honourable mention is the user Esti Paderborn. English, who was part of our season review for last season as well. He has 22 points. I think he picked up 30 points for last match day. And for example, you rightly predicted that Hansa would win against Hanover. So hats up to you. Very good. I'm just not going to talk about where I stand in this table. you're still a bit better off than me. Just my main goal is not to get relegated in this time would be kind of nice. But yeah, as you mentioned, just the more the merrier, just sign up. It's not a closed group or anything like that. We have the tweet is on top of our Twitter page, so you don't have to search for it for a very long time. It's just click on the link, and then you can predict. You now have 2 weeks, obviously, to predict the next match day. Don't forget it. I know it always comes, Friday comes sooner than some might think. Thanks for all the people who have signed up so far. This is really fun.
It is. I just know for one thing, I'll never pick Schalke to win games because they'll end up losing. So that's one thing you always see with my tips, is that unless it's like a gimme, no way. Again, thank you for listening to our Match Day 2 review. We are going to take the week off next week because, of course, it's Pokal this weekend. But we will be back in a fortnight's time to discuss all the action from what will obviously be an exciting Match Day 3. Until then, stay safe, enjoy your weekend of football, and we will see you next time.